Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard Captain Fi, the Financial Independence Podcast. G'day. Welcome to an episode of Captain Fi, the Financial Independence Podcast, where I open the cockpit to some of the best and brightest in personal finance, as well as those who've reached or are on their way to financial independence. Kurt, how are you going?
Good, thanks, Captain Fi. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I'm enjoying a nice sunny afternoon. It's a bit quieter down my neck of the woods. Just before, we were listening to the orchestra of cicadas around your house.
Yeah, thankfully they've gone quiet. We've been sitting here chin wagging for a little while before turning the pod on, and I mean, time is our friend this evening, just like it always is for investing, huh?
Very good. First up, so I've been using Perla for a little while now. What is Perla, and how can it help people on the path to financial independence?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, a range of great questions there. Really stepping back. Like, Perla is an online broker for long-term Aussie investors. And the short story is, like, I was founded it with two friends, and we did so because we got fed up of only really having two bad options to refer friends to when, like, they wanted to start investing, whether that be like confusing trading platforms or expensive micro-investing apps. And so Perla, just like other brokers, allows people to invest directly in Aussie or US stocks. And ETFs too. And where we differ though is, like, instead of having a platform that's based around the trading experience, we've really dug deep and, like, gone for the long-term investing experience from the ground up. So trying to help people achieve their financial goals. You've probably already played with the features, mate, but the big ones are auto-invest, goals, and then also we have shareable portfolios, share site integration, things like that that just help make it easy to hit your long-term goals.
Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, for sure. Well, so me personally, I've always been like a finance nerd in a little way. Like, I was interested in money growing up. Like, we used to sell rabbits to the local pet shop, and then we used to have chooks and other things like that. I come from kind of like country town called Goulburn. But I'd say the real thing for me happened when I was like 14 and I read The Barefoot Investor. It was second edition back in the day, and it really just changed. It helped me make sense of the journey that I went on as a kid from like a suburban, almost working class style upbringing to definitely a more comfortable upbringing where we'd like go on regular overseas holidays and family move from like a duplex in the middle of town to like some house on the fringes of town, like with some acreage. And that Barefoot Investor, what it did for me was just really open my eyes to how people's financial habits kind of change their life goals, not their life goals, their ability to achieve their life goals and their outcomes. What I mean by that is like car loans. I couldn't believe, like, when I found out about it, that people would sign up to these depreciating assets, and especially if they didn't need them to get to work, and, you know, first brand new car versus secondhand car, things like that. Personal loans, credit cards, like, that was never a thing in my family. It was always like investments. To be fair though, it was mostly property. And yeah, that was kind of like the frame that I grew up in, and I think that's kind of where it all started for me. Was then that's why it makes a difference. And then the kind of interest grew into a passion, and away I went.
How did you guys decide to get together and do this?
Yeah, so Nick and I met while working for an investment office. And long story short, I was like mid-20s at the time. Nick was early 30s. And even though we had 10 years between us, our mates were still having the same issues. And that was, they were like, oh, shit, like, how do I start investing? How do I start doing things with my money? And the only difference was that at my age, it was my friends had just started working for a couple of years, and they were like, had a bit of money saved away, and they're like, oh, I'd be interested in doing something. Whereas at Nick's side of the fence, like 5 years later, they were more like, oh shit, I've just starting to have a family. I'm starting to have obligations. I need to get my act together. So there was like a big urgency switch there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, that was how Nick and I kind of started really working on Perla in the early days. And then Hayden and I, we met at New College at UNSW. Hayden's the smartest developer that I know and have known for pretty unreal. And so we just reached out to him really, said, hey, mate, can you help us try to put this together? And he was like, you know what? I think I want to really help out. Mate, have you found the auto invest function and even just the new search experience?
Yeah, well, look, I must admit, I'm still pretty new. I only recently dipped a toe. I picked up a good chunk of my favorite Aussie ETF, and that was just like a once off. So I still have yet to fully set up my auto invest. But that's going to be the plan going forward. But it all looks pretty straightforward. I have set up my ShareSite integrations.
Cool.
That works really well. So that my A200 purchase that reflected across onto my ShareSite account. And yep. I think I recently just got the letter from the registry. So that should all it's sort of all coming together.
Yeah, unreal. Did you find that it synced all right with your existing portfolio holdings that you had elsewhere on ShareSite?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. When I set it up, it didn't look like it worked properly, and I was like, ah. So I reported that as a bug to the support desk, and it turns out it actually synced perfectly behind the scenes. So it's replicated onto my portfolio, and it just turned out it was just a very minor graphics displaying issue on the website, which I went and checked it out recently. I think you guys have squashed that bug already. So
yeah, we do have a pretty fast turnaround on bugs, but there are quite a number of bugs still. That's why we're still in beta, I guess. So we just got the team up and running and going a million miles an hour. And I mean, it's mostly all graphical stuff these days. But yeah, it's just great on our end that you can hook it up. You get started on Perla. You don't need to worry about tax. If you've already got ShareSite, it syncs up directly. If you don't, you can just create a free account and get going. All your tax reporting's there. Performance reporting too is like super simple, and it's free, obviously, for your first 10 holdings. So like, that's all. I mean, personally, I love it because tax is a nightmare. The other thing too is like once people get comfortable, hopefully yourself, mate, with Perla, you can just roll over the whole portfolio and it's already kind of synced up there, ready to go. So you don't need to take that one big leap.
That's what I really like about the Chess sponsorship on the share trading platform. And that's, you know, on any share trading platform that is Chess sponsored, is that you don't really have to trust the actual broker. You can just yoink your shares across. My previous broker pisses me off or something's going wrong. Yep, I can just move it across to Perla. And there's very little risk in having it in Perla because, you know, if for whatever reason I want to move back or, you know, God forbid for some reason I'd go back to one of the banks, I can just move that across straight away as well. And you guys can't really stop me from doing that.
Yeah, exactly. That's the beauty of like the whole Chess model. It's, you know, your shares are attached to your HIN. You can take HIN's a holder identification number. And you can just move that across with you wherever you go. It's called direct ownership as opposed to like the custodian model, which is beneficial ownership, which essentially means like the broker technically owns title to your equities. And then they assign the benefits of that ownership to you. It can get messy. It has got messy in the past. Halifax and BBY are the two most recent examples in Australia. Halifax was just last year. BBY was 2015. The money still haven't been paid from BBY. They were Australia's biggest private broker at the time they went under. There's good cause to be concerned. But at the same time, custodian is the dominant model overseas. So it's not all like, what the hell's going on? I guess if you're going for a custodian, but Australia has Chess and it's actually cutting edge, even though it was developed in 1994. And that's because custodian was developed in like 1960.
Oh, that's good. Hey, so coming, growing up in rural New South Wales, buying and selling chooks and rabbits, that's great. You got an entrepreneur spirit established quite young. With that in mind, what has your journey to financial independence looked like so far?
Well, so I got started investing at 15. I read The Barefoot Investor at 14. I had 15 grand saved up. Of that, I think more than half would have been gifted to me. So it wasn't like I was a super saver as a kid, but I did do a bit of work and earn a bit of money, and then read that Barefoot Investor and got sold on the magic of compound interest and the eighth wonder of the world sort of propaganda, if you will. and yeah, from there I went and invested in three stocks at a stockbroker's recommendation. My parents obviously vetted it too, and it was under their name. And yeah, that was 2007, and then it went pretty much all bust from there. It went to zero for two of them, and then one kind of went half its value. It eventually bounced back a few years later, but it was a pretty steep learning curve as a kid to kind of get your life savings wiped away.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah, it was like I do remember it really clearly, but it was like I was watching it. Like, it went up for the first like 2-3 months. It's like, oh yeah, this is cool. And then the GFC hit, and I was keep on thinking, you know, it's a long term game. I've like read all this stuff. You just got to hold on. You just got to ride it through. And the thing I didn't really know at the time was the importance of diversification. Well, actually, I did. I just didn't know how to get low cost access to it. I hadn't read about ETFs. I didn't understand how they worked. That I should have been in that instead of three stock picks. And then once I did learn about them, I thought it was downright unethical that a financial advisor could put someone in anything that wasn't an ETF as their first equity purchase. And I still do, you know. And that's really the driving factor behind, you know, how we ended up where we are today with Perla, deep in the financial independence community, pushing this like mantra that is, you know, long-term investing in diversified portfolios to achieve goals. Like, that's what we stand for. You know, the lesson was burnt in at a young age, mate.
Well, you know, whilst it might have felt really horrible at the time, you know, some might even say, looking back, that sounds like a bit of a trial by fire, but yeah. Ironically, some might even say, looking back though, that whilst $15,000 is a lot for, you know, a young bloke to lose, it's a very, very powerful lesson. And like you do say, you had that burnt into you now about the risks and the benefits of diversification.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's a great lesson to learn at that age. It's I think a great lesson then that, you know, I can kind of share. It also is a lot of the driving sort of motivation to make sure that my friends and family don't make the same mistakes. And hey, also I've benefited from that since, because, you know, just to give you some hard numbers, obviously kept saving and kept investing and just started to do it smarter since then. And so, you know, I got to the stage where portfolio went past 150K and then Perla came along. So essentially halved that and stoked up a bit of the seed capital. And that's where we are today, you know.
Hey, that's awesome. Well, you know, Charlie Munger, didn't he say that the first 100K is the most difficult to get? And then, you know, once you start getting above that point, you know, you're really starting to get that benefit, that compound interest.
Yeah, right. I haven't seen that quote, but I can imagine he's an astute bloke. It's a good
one. Oh, it's a little less PG than what I said, but, you know, I don't want to get kicked off Apple iTunes or whatever. Well, you know, that's really interesting about you learning that lesson then. So what do you reckon? Is Perla going to have a mandatory ETF as your first transaction?
We're definitely pushing hard on the guidance route. And so, you know, you log into Perla at the moment and the first kind of buckets. First of all, it's not just search by three letters like the ticker code. It's you go to browse and you can go to the shares, and then you've got your most popular ETFs is like one of the first ones. The most popular LICs is one soon after that, and then actually the first one at the moment is a bucket called free ETFs, because we've partnered with three ETF providers in Australia, so VanEck, ETF Securities, and eInvest, and essentially they're paying for your purchase brokerage if you're a long-term investor with Perla.
Speaking of Perla and some of the tools, what are some of the other main tools and features of the Perla platform?
So we've got Auto Invest, so that's the big one, the big draw card. So I'm sure many of your listeners are aware of the benefits of dollar cost averaging, and set and forget, paying yourself first, like all of these one-liners that do really ring true. They're one-liners for a reason. Should we dig into any of the explanations there, or just dig into Auto Invest straight up?
Yeah, go for it, mate. I'm all ears. You're the expert.
Oh, I don't know about that, mate. You go toe-to-toe with me. So dollar cost averaging is the premise that if you just set up an automated sort of payment, or you regularly invest is actually the specific style, then what you'll do is you'll buy more shares when the market is low and less when the market's high. And so therefore your average purchase price would be lower than it might be otherwise. And essentially, it also takes out that whole premise of trying to time the market, because you're already going to get an average lower cost. It also is going to mean that you're in the market for longer, because you're getting in as soon as you hit whatever money threshold it is that you're willing to invest for the brokerage amount. That's essentially it. In terms of paying yourself first, it's a principle. It's like, if you actually set your money aside when you get paid, as soon as you get paid, then it becomes a lot easier to develop a savings habit. So essentially, you can just link those two things up, dollar cost averaging and paying yourself first. And that's how that works. And I guess in Perla's context, where it gets really exciting for those who want to do this, is you can literally set it up so that when you get paid, we will direct debit money from your bank account and invest it into a set of shares and or ETFs that you've specified in the percentages that you want and in the manner that you want. So does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It took me years to fully get the message out of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I read that book and pay yourself first, it kept coming up, and I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Like, pay yourself first. Oh, of course. Like, anyway, it took me a long time to realize what he actually meant was invest at the start of the month or just invest as soon as you get paid. Now it's quite funny, you know, we talk often about dollar cost averaging and lump sum investing, and what's really ironic I found in my journey is that as I learn more, I've actually found that for me, those two strategies are actually the same thing, because like, if you think about it, if you're paying or you're buying investments as soon as you've got paid, well, that's a lump sum invest, right? Because you're not like withholding and waiting, trying to time the market. But then if you're getting paid regularly and regularly lump sum investing, well, that's the definition of dollar cost averaging as well. So if you pay yourself first and regularly invest, then you're getting the best of both, right?
Yeah, for sure. The key difference comes up with what happens if you get an inheritance or some other windfall. What's the best way to invest that? Like something that isn't just your typical routine investment cycle.
It really depends on your personal risk tolerance, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the key thing it comes down to. I think the numbers are like you're 60% more likely to get a better financial outcome if you did the lump sum, like as in if you invested it all immediately. But your standard deviation, which means like the volatility, was something like 2 times. So you were like twice as likely to get a really bad outcome too. And so, like, at the end of the day, I think you have to, personally anyway, I struggle to justify doing a lump sum. Why not just break anything into 24 chunks if you're talking about like a $100,000 investment or, you know, something of like, or plus. And actually there's a great article on this written by Ben Carson at A Wealth of Common Sense, which is my personal favorite blog, really dissecting, you know, the flaws in the whole Vanguard and Morningstar analysis that came out.
60% of the time, every time.
Yeah, mate.
I actually haven't read the Ben Carson article, so I'm primed. I'm actually excited to go and check that out. I'm going to link all of it in the show notes as well for anyone listening if they want to dive in. But awesome, thank you for bringing that up. I actually didn't know about the standard deviation thing.
Yeah, it's I mean, it makes sense when you think about it, right? If you invest something and the market in a big lump and the market generally goes up over time, then of course getting in earlier is going to increase the average outcome. But of course, if you dump it all in at once, then the range of outcomes is going to be much broader looking at a rolling time period. So,
yeah, it's certainly something that sort of racked my brain and caused me a bit of anxiety in the past. So one of the things that I sort of really like about my personal investing strategy at the moment is I just buy these ETFs. I talk about it a lot on my blog, which particular ones I'm in, and I share my portfolio.
What's your target portfolio, mate? I want to know.
Okay, so now this is, I don't really know a lot about this, and I really don't feel qualified to even be talking about it.
Yep.
But at the moment, right, I have a lot of Australian ETF is where the bulk of my money is, in the BetaShares A200.
Gotcha.
And that was because it's got, you know, the lowest MER, and I could see that tracking the ASX or the Selective 200 index is very similar to the ASX 200 index.
There's like ASX 300. It's like there's like 3% difference between the top 200 companies in Australia and the top 300 by market cap.
Yeah, exactly. And I'd drunk Barefoot Kool-Aid, and I was like, cool, management fees, they're really important. So that was the main reason why I went with the A200.
Yep, cool.
And the reason I've got most of it in the A200 was because I had a really strong bias towards home bias towards Australian shares, just because, you know, I could see the pretty strong dividend producers. I think I was looking at the share site reporting, and my portfolio on average has given me something like 4% in dividends. And yeah, I think awesome. I want to say maybe somewhere between 6 to 9% capital growth. I'd have to go and have a look at the, I do publish the monthly net worth update, so you can check it all out. I'm not just making it up on the spot, I promise.
No, of course. I've seen them too. It's solid, mate. It's very solid.
So I do still invest in overseas. So I was inspired a lot by what the Aussie Firebug had done, you know, splitting, essentially rolling his own version of the Vanguard Diversified Fund, you know, VD.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, or you can roll your own.
Again, seeking the lowest MER.
Yes, yeah, trying to get the lowest MER, but also subconsciously indulging my love of Australian shares because they were paying higher dividends. And, you know, I was kind of thinking, well, I want these dividends because I want to build a growing snowball of passive income, yep. Which was strongly influenced by my reading of Dave from Strong Money Australia's blog about building up passive income. I guess the tax implications of, you know, dividend versus growth investing. To be honest, I think they're both awesome. And, you know, I'm getting more growth from, you know, the US stocks and the global ex-US stocks as well.
Yep.
So I mainly invest in those three ETFs.
Yep.
But I also do, again, from reading Strong Money Australia, yeah. I do have a bit of a soft spot for the LICs.
Gotcha.
Listed investment companies. AFI, that was my first ever share purchase.
Oh, nice.
I bought it,
I thought it was a concrete company when I bought it, mate. So don't congratulate me too soon.
Foundation investment. It's like, they're building a foundation. It must be concrete.
I thought I was investing in Portland concrete, mate. So look, long answer, but I think my portfolio is a split between three ETFs at the moment. For me, that's, you know, the beta shares and then the Vanguard VTS and VEU. I do have four LICs that I like. I don't hold all four right now.
Yep.
In terms of how I break that down, I'm strongly into Australian equities. I think I'm like 80-10-10.
Yep.
Australia, US and global. I think I'd like to see that come down to something a bit more sensible, like a 60-20-20.
Yep.
But yeah, maybe I need you guys to educate me a little bit more on how to set that up.
Well, it's pretty easy to set up. I mean, getting the optimal balance though is completely down to personal preference and personal circumstances. So, you know, like dividends are a more stable form of capital return. They're slightly less tax efficient. And so depends really like how important that is to you. Also, in terms of the mentality around taking a return, it's a lot easier to take a dividend payment, but people will have a lot more difficulty like selling down religiously capital gains once they hit their like fire date, or they're trying to take some earnings off the table. So, you know, that's kind of two things to take into account, I think, that are worth thinking about when doing this. But like, does that make sense, first of all?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, the psychological power of the dividends were massive. So, you know, when I see, you know, it's about $1,000 a month on average coming in from dividends, like that is really exciting, and that motivates me to invest more. Yeah. But yeah, I sort of acknowledge that, you know, it is probably slightly less efficient than just rolling it all up in capital gains. I do see like massive benefits, and I know Dave talks about this quite a lot, is the, as you say, the stability of the capital return. Like in the crisis, I think the share prices tend to drop, but the dividend payments don't tend to kind of drop as much.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I think a balance between everything is the way to go. And, you know, it's still a learning process for me. I'm still, I've been doing it for a few years now, but it's, I'm still far from being anything close to experienced.
But, hey, that's the other thing too. When you are in the early days, it's not like you're making these decisions that are going to be locked in for life, because, you know, you can quite easily tweak your portfolio, and not even tweak, but make large percentage changes in like target allocations. If, you know, and then just invest more in those stocks over the next year or two, you know, and then they'll balance out in time. So whenever someone's, you know, in that early stage of their FI journey, even all the way up to like a mil, it's like you can still make really significant allocation tweaks along the way, so you don't need to get it all right in the first go.
I've been sort of focusing on my rebalancing or asset allocation through just buying.
Yeah.
So that's where I guess the auto invest feature, you know, buy into the least holding is probably the most attractive for me.
Yeah. Keep going. So
that'd be, at the moment, once I set my portfolios up, that'll probably just be buying the ETFs, you know, the VEU and the VTS, given that is my least. Having said that, I guess letting that run on its own, you do have also the vagrancies of the currency markets as well, given that, if the Australian dollar is falling in power, then that's another thing that sort of influenced where I'm looking to invest money. Sure. I know everything in the long term evens out.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So that's exactly right. So I don't think I would use the auto invest feature for buying listed investment companies.
Yep.
Because so I'm going to deviate from the gospel here a minute, Kurt. Now whilst I don't advocate stock picking and trying to time the market,
yep.
So I kind of, when I'm doing my monthly investments, I have a bit of a quick scan and I see if any of the LICs are trading below value. And if they are, then I'll look at buying those. But if otherwise, if they're expensive, then I'll just, you know, jump onto an ETF. So in that respect, I don't think I could fully automate my investing strategy
sure.
in Perla, but I could certainly automate all of the ETF purchases.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly how it feeds in. That whole like looking for the whether the LICs are at discount or premium, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. I think it is on the margins though in terms of how effective it is. Like, but again, I haven't done the numbers. I haven't done the studies personally. I'm really passive in my investment approach, and so I prefer to not have to go do the digging on that. And then also, I find that ETFs just tend to be a bit more capital efficient. That said, grandfather LICs are super low cost. So I honestly, and even like individual shares, like at Perla, where like as long as you're investing for like 12 months or more, you're a long-term investor, we'll have you. If it's below that, you're a trader, we don't want you. You know, like that's pretty much our attitude towards how people should go into making their investment. And sure, hey, people's circumstances change and sometimes they need to sell within the 12-month period, and that's fine. It's more just when everyday people go in to make an investment, the only way they win is if they're going in for the long term.
This podcast is brought to you by the best portfolio tracking tool for Aussie investors. ShareSight makes it incredibly simple to track your portfolio with automatic updates of share purchases and dividends, easy-to-read graphs, and comprehensive tax and performance reporting, all wrapped up in an easy-to-use cloud-based system. For users with fewer than 10 holdings, it is completely free, and I even used the free version for years. Head over to captainfi.com/ShareSight-review to see if ShareSight is for you. Captain Fi listeners can score themselves 4 months of ShareSight Premium for free by using the bonus sign-up code in the article. If you do ever decide to hold more than 10 stocks, be sure to use this code to get your first 4 months for free. Even if you do only plan to use the free version, using the code means if you ever do upgrade, you will still get your 4 months for free. Ditch the Excel spreadsheet and complete your tax with a click of a button by signing up today. That's captainfi.com/ShareSight-review for your 4 free months.
Because at the end of the day, and I'm not sure if you've seen the Gottrock story in John Bogle's book, The Little Book of Common Sense Investing, but it's an absolute golden one. And he kind of paraphrased from Buffett too and said, look, at the end of the day, in trading is a zero-sum game because essentially you're trying to take money from other people. And this is before costs. There are winners and there are losers if you don't take into account the benefits of growth over time. And so when you introduce costs, it actually becomes a net negative game because the broker at the end of the day is taking money out of the pot every time a transaction's made. And so for an everyday person who's playing a net negative game, it's not their full-time job, you know, they're not doing like all the research then. And I know I'm preaching the choir here, mate, but really that's why it makes sense for, if you're just trying to achieve your long-term financial goals, you don't need to be dipping the finger in the pond every day, every month. Stick in for the long term and watch it grow.
Yeah, I think it's probably given me a bit of food for thought, and I probably shouldn't be stuffing around, you know, trying to hunt around for the best deal. And you know, I guess if I look at the amount of time I'm spending on it, it's probably better to just put it into an ETF and completely automate it and not even spend the time.
Oh, hey, that time analysis is really worth doing. Hey, like what's the value of your time? And also like when it comes to like picking individual stocks versus just going for an ETF, I know you know, people and me too, like I definitely do it, but for shares that I really believe in, I'll put a bit of cash aside and into them, but it's more like a belief bet rather than I'm trying to go for this is a key part of my portfolio, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So just on that, I guess you mentioned earlier that your first foray into the investing world was going all in on three big stocks, and it didn't really turn out great.
Yeah.
So what do you do now? I'm assuming you're big on ETFs, but how do you structure your portfolio? And yeah, what are you investing in?
So my portfolio for quite a while was super similar to yours. It was A200, VTS, and VEU. So the BetaShares Australia, then Vanguard XUS, Vanguard US. I had it sitting at about 50-25-25 for a while, and that was where I was at. Then I just started, maybe it was 18 months ago, getting interested in how this leveraged ETFs work that BetaShares had come out with, and essentially they. The reason I got interested in them is because they're structured differently to how other leverage ETFs work. Most leverage ETFs rebalance daily and they're like fundamentally trading instruments. These ones have a rebalance range, which means that they don't rebalance very often and therefore could be somewhat appropriate for long-term investors. And I actually did a really deep dive into this before like starting investing in them. And it's on Perla's blog. It's just like, can internally geared ETFs accelerate my time to FI is what I think the title is. And, you know, just like looking at the Sharpe ratio, which is I've got a degree in finance and mech eng, so I quite like numbers. And the Sharpe ratio is kind of how you determine the risk reward trade-off, basically. And so it looks at volatility versus return and whether it's worth it. And in the case of these both Gear and GGUS to Geared Australian and Geared US, they came out positive on, like, as in have a better Sharpe ratio than just your typical ETF after costs. And so I was like, you know what, I'm going to test this out because I don't have access to cheap capital. I'm keen to leverage. I don't have access to cheap capital because I don't own a home. I think if I owned a home, I would always use debt recycling. I say that without owning a home or doing a deep dive into it, but it does seem like the most cost-effective way. But I was looking for ways outside of that. How do I do it? How do I get access to it, etc.? And this seemed like a decent way. So I've added in 10% of each of those into my target. So now I'm 40 A200, 10 gear. And I actually recently subbed out both the Vanguard ones with VanEck sustainable, global sustainable, because one, I care deeply about renewable energy, but two, also VanEck has free brokerage on Perla, and it just makes a whole lot of sense from a money point of view, like a cost point of view. That $10 every time that I make an investment, or $9.50 is our brokerage fee. It's like, well, if I don't have to pay that every time I buy two different things here, well, now I can just increase my frequency. I can invest in $1,000 increments, and I'm not paying any brokerage on it. So even though it's a higher MER, it makes sense for me to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to be doing a bit of a dive into some of the ethical ETF funds soon, because I've heard a lot of really good stuff about the fund you mentioned. Was it ESGI, and also ETI as well was another one I've heard the guys talking about. And I must admit, I haven't looked into them. I don't know a lot about them, but the way the world's going, some of the ethical investing does really align to my values.
Yep.
Things that were holding me back for that was, just the MER and just, I guess, a fear that I was tinkering.
Sure.
But as you sort of mentioned, if you're not paying the brokerage, then it sort of cancels out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely does in this case. I think investing in a way that aligns with people's beliefs is just becoming more popular. There's increasingly more products out there too that allow you to do it. So VanEck released a good range, ETF securities too. I know actually BetaShares have just released some diversified portfolios that are sustainable. So all of these products are coming out that are actually helping people set up, just align more elements of their life, and not even in finance, only in finance actually, but across the board. Like, you're talking like energy plans, phone plans. Like, I signed up to Belong the other day and it had like carbon neutral phone plan. I was like, awesome. And you know, it's just across the board becoming available at a decent rate. That's not like you're paying an arm and a leg
That's the next question, isn't it? So like, what's the bottom line? Like, with your ethical ETF, like, how's the returns been against, you know, what you would have got with VTS and VEU?
It tracks super similar. There is a small sort of MER difference essentially that gets eaten out of it. But as I said before, I don't really pay that anymore because I'm not paying the brokerage right now. And then also I'm kind of happy in a way to say that it's worth it. And at the end of the day, it's like, it's not huge. You're paying literally, if you compare between the two, you're paying, I think, 20 bips, assuming you're paying the same brokerage on doing it. So, I mean, it's up to the individual to see if that justifies it for them. And that's just these comparing this set of ETFs. But yeah, that's, to me, it adds up even with the brokerage being the same. So yeah, it's just a bit of a nice touch.
So what about the performance? Like, I know we always say investing is a long-term game. I mean, have you seen a difference in performance at all? Like, were these, assuming these ethical funds may outperform?
Oh, sorry. What I was saying was that the only difference in performance over like the how long has ESG been around? But I think it's about 5 years that it's been around. But hey, I might be wrong there, has just been like, there's really minor, and minor to the point of it really just seems like it's the additional little bit of management fee that's changed it. Like, I don't think you're getting a big swing either way right now, as far as markets have been performing on sustainable versus not. But hey, we may see that changes.
We're seeing like obviously the green renewables, we're using it, it's becoming more of a part of our life. Like, yeah, obviously seen, you know, Tesla becoming huge with electric vehicles. So yeah, it's definitely an area to keep an eye on. So yeah. Cool, man. Well, I'll now can we see your portfolio or at Perla? Like, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got the portfolios up. You can actually, we'll link the URL in. You can just see my target portfolio as it is today. Check it out. And it's there, and essentially you can even invest like Kurt. Essentially our concept is to have templates that people can use to get started, and it's not meant to be mirror investing by any stretch, but it's just meant to make that first decision point easier. I'd also recommend that if people are just trying to get started, that they check out diversified portfolios, like these diversified ETFs. Vanguard and BetaShares both have a range of these diversified ETFs where they like will have up to 2,000 securities underneath them for like 30 basis point fees. And it's just a really good way to not make any mistakes when someone's starting. Because at the end of the day, the thing that matters most is just the getting started part. Hey, like.
So Kurt, I'd say that Perla is a low cost investing platform.
Yep.
We have seen a couple of platforms springing up with, you know, some even lower costs. So, for example, we've seen Superhero and Open Trader both offering $5 trades.
Yep.
How does Perla plan to compete with these companies, and what makes Perla different?
Well, I guess to hit the second one off really quick, it's all these companies are trading companies. So fundamentally, they help people buy and sell shares. It's the behavior they're encouraging is casino-like. And it's what gives investing the bad rap because it's really trading. And to give you some tangible examples, like they built the interface around the buy-sell process. There's a lot of market depth there, the defaults intraday, price changes, etc. On our end, you know, we're the price change default is 10 years. we're looking at only having like, well, don't only, but our default is market orders. We allow people to make an investment any time of day. You don't have to be during market open hours. And we have automation set up so that you can actually just be completely price agnostic, because the price really doesn't matter when you're investing in these diversified portfolios if you're doing it over a long period of time incrementally. So fundamentally, we're the anti-Robin Hood, if you want to sum it up in a sentence. Whereas superhero self-wealth are very much Australia's version of Robin Hood. How do we compete with $5? Well, we've got all those features, obviously. But we're also trying to be cost competitive. And so we're working on this freemium service. At the moment, the very first version of this is our free ETFs with these ETF partners for long-term investors. So if you buy one of their ETFs, then and you hold it for more than 12 months, then you don't need to pay any brokerage. If you sell it before 12 months is up, then you just pay the brokerage you would have paid when you make the sale. And so that's the first version of that. The second version, which we hope to launch it next year, is more of a general like free investment brokerage for long-term investors for both AU and US ETFs, not all stocks, but ETFs. We've still got some work to do around this, so I can't give too much away. I'll keep my cards close to the chest for now, but keep the eyes out for that on the horizon. But yeah, they're the big like competitive things that we're working on, I guess, on top of all the just pure features that are built for helping people actually achieve their goals rather than feel like investing is a casino.
I think that's a really good take on it, mate. So I'm interested to hear about the development about this freemium model. So what's in store for Perla over the next 12 months or so? Can you give us any sneak peeks on how this might change?
Oh, mate, we've got the free ETFs at the moment, and essentially we want to build that out, and we want to build that out across not only the Australian space, but also the US ETF space. So essentially there's this free access to investing in some of the assets that are on our platform. And then there is kind of a subscription price that someone could pay for unlimited investments, assuming they hold them for 12 months. And that's what we're looking at. And then, of course, we want to then take it to the next level too. The step after that for us is actually you can start to include superannuation in your balance of super in the Perla platform. We also will help you compare against other super funds, roll over to the best one that for you, if there is a better one for you, like a clear winner, as well as give you some of the benefit of rolling over, like share the profits there with you. Because at the moment, the thing that's wrong with the finance industry is everyone gets paid by the product provider. No one's really aligned with the customer's interest, and we're trying to flip that on its head. So supers is a clear one. Also help make it easier and more cost-effective for people to make their own SMSF if they're keen on doing that. At the moment, it's a nightmare to do it, but the control is valued by a number of people, and it's a bit costly too. So if we can pull the costs down, maybe it becomes more reasonable for those with, instead of I think the number at the moment, 250K balances when it starts being maybe worthwhile doing. So maybe we can pull that number down to 100 or something like that, and then people can have the control. That's just one other option. And then also we're looking at, okay, can we then include micro investing apps or rubber like on the platform, so your Razors and your Spaceships, so that you can do things like roundups and other just like everyday investment stuff, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so kind of looking to expand and have basically a spectrum of investing to kind of cover the life cycle as people sort of learn about it, maybe get into micro investing, build up their brokerage, and then also looking at their retirement phase with superannuation.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to be the wealth app for everyone. So to cover not only investments in stocks, but also cover investments in any micro investing app or any superannuation fund and have it all in one place. So you've got one unified view, so you understand everything with your money. That's where we're working towards over the next 2-3 years. And we've already got like super integrated into the platform in a little way. And that's the next step for us. The step after that is trying to get these roundups to kind of be our, well, these roundup platforms. And then who knows, after that, the world's our oyster. Maybe we can even help people find better loans, more accurate insurance for their needs, things like that. But now I'm talking in big pipe dream sort of stuff where we're trying to be the Amazon of finance. But
That's great, mate. Well, it's awesome to know that you certainly got that long-term focus. And yeah, it's not your conventional share trading platform when you're dealing with Perla.
No, not at all. It's really trying to help people get better with their money. And that's the other side that we really haven't covered that much. But there is a genuine, like, helping people connect and achieve their goals together side to what we're doing. So in our ideal world, it's like people will share their goals with one another. They'll like kind of be able to congratulate each other on achieving milestones, whether that's saving for their home deposit or hitting FI or whatever it may be, and just essentially get rid of the money taboo that exists in society, because it's such a massive driver of inequity, mate. It's like, it's one of the biggest things that if we can solve that, then I think we'll do a really good thing for the country. So my favorite book on investing is the little book of Common Sense Investing by Jack Bogle, or John Bogle, the founder of Vanguard. He'd recently passed away, but he essentially invented the index fund. He did invent the index fund, which has then been kind of transformed into the ETFs that more people use today. And it's just it's a great book. It's just phenomenal on like the ups and downs of investing as a whole, and the benefits of passive. Obviously, he's got a seat at the table, and there's going to be some bias there, but there's some strong stats. He's an academic sort of writer, and I quite enjoyed that. Other thing I mentioned before, Wealth of Common Sense. It is my favorite general sort of investing blog for like global information. I follow all the FIRE blogs, so obviously your readers would be well acquainted with those in Australia, that is. In terms of other books, Getting Started, I still think The Barefoot Investor is a great read. I know people will knock it, but I think it's good. I really liked Rich Dad Poor Dad too, actually. That kind of focus on the benefits of cash flow, I think, never really cut through to me until I read that book. That was maybe the big ones. I think I've done a lot of other stuff too, whether it be like Value Invest, like The Intelligent Investor by Benjamin Graham. But I mean, I can cut to the chase there for you and your ears if they haven't read it before, and say that Graham has been quoted as telling both Buffett and Bogle that if he had his time again, he would recommend to the average person to just invest in index funds. So here you go. That's the father of value investing saying that.
Powerful stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And both Buffett and Bogle have said the same thing, by the way. Buffett's even put in his will that he's going to, his wife's assets when he dies to be invested in, I think it's 90% S&P 500 index and a 10% US Treasuries index. So again, like, it's pretty compelling when you start digging into this stuff.
Do you have a side hustle? My side hustle is websites, a form of digital real estate. If you want to learn more about this lucrative side hustle, check out my review of the eBusiness Institute and their online self-paced courses. They cover everything from total beginners right through to advanced web design and how to buy, renovate, and sell websites for profit. As a graduate of Matt and Liz's courses, I can't thank them enough for the valuable web skills they gave me, and now I enjoy growing my portfolio of websites for income. Captain Fire listeners can register for free access to some of these courses by signing up using the link at www.captainfire.com/ebusiness-institute-review. Build your portfolio of digital real estate and start using websites to make money today.
Mate, I could probably rabbit on for days about different things, but I think the ones I've covered are the ones that are most compelling for me. I clearly like to read a lot, so that's kind of been my key source, although more and more I'm doing driving and listening to pods, and that's been fun too. I think the best pods in Australia would be in Fireland too. Yours, Dave's. Dave and Pat's rather, I do like, you know, Aussie Firebugs one too. They're probably my favourite, like deep fire pods. But again, depends on how people consume their content, I guess.
Yeah, there's so many good ones to choose from these days. Specifically the podcasts.
Yeah.
And a lot of them very tailored to specific audiences as well. So yeah, get out there and make sure you have a listen. I'll put the link in the show notes to all of the books and podcasts that Kurt's referred to. And yeah, check them out. So particularly the podcast, have a listen to a few episodes and see if they're for you. So finally, mate, and I'm very thankful to have taken up so much of your time, Kurt. And you know, we did chat for, you know, God, it felt like a couple of hours before we started recording because, you know, really interesting bloke, mate. And, you know, I love what you're doing.
Mate, we had a lot to cover and a lot of common ground.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. So, I'm absolutely stoked to, you know, have spent so much time chatting to you this afternoon. Now, one thing I would like to ask, one final question, and this is often referred to as the cruelest question that I ask. I'll ask every single person that comes on the show. Based on everything you know now about money, finance, investing, psychology, if you could distill all of your knowledge into three helpful tips, what would they be?
Well, I think the top one would be that I've seen, if you can save more than you spent and invest that money, then they're the ones who've got get like to fire fastest. And I can't say that I do that on my ramen wage at the moment, but that's the big one. The 50% savings rate in FIRE is the golden goose. And as far as I understand, you're way above that, mate. So no lessons needed from me there. Number two would be there's a lot of emphasis on like, you know, cutting costs in FI and like no expenses, a fixed expense sort of mindset. But I think that the potential for earning more often gets missed. Like there's no upper bound on income. And in fact, Aussie Firebug wrote a really good article on this one that might be worth throwing in too. But just focusing on how can you increase income rather than cut expenses, I think is not only probably a better way to accelerate your FI date, but can also be a better way to live. Instead of saying no to more things, you're kind of saying yes and you're like increasing earning capacity, etc. Which brings me really, I'd say, to the, if I'm going to say top number three, it'd be just enjoy the journey. Like people get so caught up chasing a goal, and I've done this too myself number of times in my life, but like try not to get lost pursuing a goal is really, I think, important to like, you know, just enjoying the life you live, enjoying the journey today. Because like, you know, you might get to the goal and have no friends to left to enjoy it with otherwise. So, mate, that rounds out my three.
I think that's some great advice, and I wish someone had told me those three things when I was in school.
Yeah, well, that's why you got to live a little. I didn't know them either.
Yeah. It's great, mate. Hey, I've had an absolute blast recording with you, mate. For anyone listening who, you know, wants to learn a little bit more about Perla or get in touch with yourself or maybe have a bit of a sticky beak at your investments, how can they get in touch?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, they can, if they really want to get, jump on and test it out, they can. They can even skip our waitlist using your unique code, mate, your special exclusive one. It's just Captain Phi Beta, and we should just add in the URL to the show notes too, so they can click on that. And that'll take them straight through, skip our waitlist, and they can open an account. Opening account's free, and it'll just allow you to explore, and if you're sold, then you can go for it. Of course, if you have more questions, you can also shoot us an email at community@perla.com. Or even me an email at kurt@perla.com. And that's really about it. We've got so many channels of ways to get in touch. It's more like we're pretty set on making sure that we hear our community, that we're building a platform for them. We've even got like a public roadmap that we just launched the other month that shows people kind of what we're working on, plus allows them to add in feature requests and then other people to upload it so that we know genuinely what people are after. So we're very set on community-led development. So, mate, people want to get in touch, sign up. I think that's the best way to get your hands dirty and then ask any questions from there. So your code's CAPTAIN5BETA, all one word, and we'll link it in the show notes, eh?
Yeah, awesome. Well, everything we've talked about today will be going in the notes on the bottom. There'll be links to how you can get into the beta test, as well as links to my thoughts on the platform and my sort of review of my experience using it so far. So, look, Kurt, wonderful to chat, mate. Thanks so much for making time on the show, and I'll get back to pestering you guys, tagging you on Instagram and various other posts.
Mate, love your work. Thanks so much for the time.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Captain Phi Financial Independence Podcast. To read the transcripts or check out the show notes, head over to www.captainphi.com for all the details. If you have a question for the captain, make sure to get in touch. You might even make it on the airwaves. You can reach me online through the Captain Phi contact form or get in touch through the socials. I'm active on Facebook and Instagram, as well as a number of online finance and investing forums. And finally, remember, the information presented on the show and the links provided are for general information purposes only. They should not be taken as constituting professional financial advice. You should always do your own research when making any financial decisions and make sure it's appropriate for your personal circumstance.